first thing is probably what the word itself means, which scio meaning knowledge, ology meaning study of, the study of knowledge. Scientology is a way of finding self or self-realization, finding the answers to life, the answers to spiritual awareness, and it contains practical tools and solutions to everyday living, as well as those big questions of who am I, where do we come from, what are we doing here, and what happens when we die.
That's Michael Render. He's a member of the board of directors for the Church of Scientology. He was speaking recently on NBC's Today Show. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Tonight we talk about the Church of Scientology. For many decades, a very secretive organization, more and more coming out in the open and getting more exposure as more and more Hollywood celebrities sign on as Scientologists. What does it mean to be a Scientologist? What do Scientologists believe about God? What do they believe about the person and work of Jesus Christ? We're going to talk about Scientology tonight, and we invite you to join us as well. Our call-in number, we are a live call-in program, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. We also have an in-studio email address. It's issuesetc@kfuo.org. Issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our guest tonight to talk about the Church of Scientology, a regular guest here on the program, Craig Branch, Director of Apologetics Resource Center based in Birmingham, Alabama. Craig, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be back with you.
You know, Scientology has gotten a lot of exposure in the last several decades, and probably more due to its celebrity facet than anything else. Why is the Church of Scientology apparently popular with Hollywood celebrities?
Well, two reasons. One, from the Scientology's end, it's a intentional strategy. Hubbard, early on in his career, wrote that he recognized the value of the influence of celebrities, and therefore he intentionally stated that they were to go after them to, you know, bring them into the fold, so to speak. But I appreciate there was a major story in by Time Magazine, an expose story many years ago, 1991 actually, where it was a cover story called Scientology, the Cult of Greed was the cover on that. And in the story, the writer Richard Behar wrote, "In Hollywood, Scientology has assembled a star-studded roster of followers by aggressively recruiting and regally pampering them in the church's celebrity centers, which is a chain of clubhouses that offer expensive counseling and career guidance." And with the point there, I mean, from that Scientology strategy, from the other end, I would think that, you know, unfortunately Americans or Westerners have this strange view of celebrities. Just, in other words, just because a person plays a smart, intelligent, with it person in the movies, that doesn't mean that's the way they really are in real life. And so what we have is the very nature of the field, movie stars and television stars, usually, not always, but there's a significant amount of insecurities. And Scientology offers them some substantial perspectives on who they are and what, you know, what is the meaning of life and how they can better themselves and assert themselves, especially assert themselves. And that's, I think, what draws some Scientologists. Many of the Scientologists they get have had problems, either with drugs or other life problems, and they draw them in.
Craig, we're going to be talking tonight about the various aspects of Scientology, but I'd like to begin, before we have you respond to some audio from Michael Render, who we heard it during our open from the board of directors of the Church of Scientology. The most basic question in my mind, I think, that is pressing probably for many of our listeners is, what does Scientology do? What does it teach, if anything, about the person and work of Jesus Christ?
Well, they teach a lot about Jesus Christ in a sense of what Elron Hubbard wrote. And now whether you get that, exposed to that, you have to go through lots of different levels of Scientology to eventually come to that type of exposure to what he teaches about Jesus. But the even the beginning stages of Scientology, where they begin to introduce the whole concept of reincarnation, you see it as far removed from Christianity. But as far as Christ is concerned, you know, I don't know how many quotes you want, but I can tell you that one of the most telling ones is that L. Ron Hubbard claimed that Jesus, well, this depends on which writing you read. One writing, he said that Jesus was someone who was just a shade above clear, and that is a pretty average level for Scientologists, so he was not that impressive a person. But in other writings, Hubbard wrote that Jesus Christ was really a legend, actually what they call an implant, which is a false idea put into the minds of people to inhibit their spiritual development and growth. So, you know, he says all kinds of things about Christ that are contradictory, but none of them are accurate, and all of them are aggressively denying and blasphemous towards Christianity.
So, best case scenario, Church of Scientology teaches that Jesus, ordinary man, pretty much like any other good Scientologist. Worst case scenario, Jesus is a myth, depending on which of Hubbard's writings you want to take seriously.
That's correct.
Well, here's Michael Render again. He is on the board of directors for the Church of Scientology. He appeared on NBC's Today Show, interviewed by Katie Couric. And this is what he says they believe about God in its most basic sense.
Scientologists have a very fundamental belief in God. There are eight divisions or compartments of life, eight urges towards survival. Those urges range from number one, which is the urge towards existence as the individual, yourself, then procreation and family, then group, then mankind, then all living things, then all things of the material universe, then spirituality, and then ultimately the supreme being or creator. And when one has reached an understanding across all of those dynamics, mm-hmm. up through seven, then one comes to a full understanding of the Creator or God.
So what would that full understanding of the Creator or God be according to Scientology, Craig?
Yeah, Ridner's talking about, and I know I've had run-ins with Mike Ridner in the past, Scientology, they call it the eight dynamics, what he's just talking about, and the eighth dynamic is supposed to be this concept of God, but they're very vague about that. Up front, because they don't want to put off any potential customers. But actually what Hubbard teaches, I'll quote one of his writings, and again, you have to understand, Hubbard's writings are the word of God. I mean, they are the inerrant, infallible proclamation of truth. And so they are the scriptures of Scientology. And he writes, there are gods above all other gods, and gods beyond the gods of the universes. And then he taught, again, you find this massive contradiction in the stuff he taught, but all of them are still in error. He also taught that man's goal through Scientology processing is to arrive at the I am state himself. The concept of operating Satan, this which may get into, their belief is the spirit being, Satan, is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-powerful, and has power over matter, energy, space, and time. And this is the ultimate state, the I am state, that we all can inherently achieve through Scientology processing. So it is basically a New Age Gnostic, it has a close kinship with the New Age Gnostic view of reality and God.
So trying to get very clear on what you just said, does Scientology's view of the deity, speak generally, bear any resemblance to what Christianity teaches about the true God?
Oh, no. No, it's not. No resemblance at all. Again, there's this Satan that everyone has, this state of existence, this ultimate state that everyone can merge and or move back into and realize his own divinity, that man is divine in his true state.
Folks, I'd love to hear from you on the Church of Scientology. Craig Branch is our guest. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. 2727. We also have an in-studio email address. We can take your questions and your comments in real time right here in the studio on Scientology with Craig Branch. issuesetc@kfuo.org is the email address. issuesetc@kfuo.org. And our call-in number again, 1-800-730-2727. We are coming to you live this Sunday night. It's November the 27th. We're talking with Craig Branch about the Church of Scientology. Members of the Church of Scientology are welcome to call. You'll get right through. 1-800-730-2727. Justification in the Scriptures, Old and New Challenges to the Doctrine by which the Church Stands or Falls, and the Holy Spirit as Giver, Gift, and Gifts are the themes for the annual symposia at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. This year's symposia begins January 17th and ends January 20th. Now for a complete list of speakers, symposia schedule, or to register online, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call area code 260-452-2247. The fellowship alone is worth the registration fee, and you can experience the Christ-centered, cross-focused worship life at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. It's the 2006 Symposia Series, January the 17th through the 20th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. For more information, issuesetc.org or call area code 260-452-2247.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Folks, we have several articles on Scientology posted at our website. It's issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find these resources. Most of them, by the way, are written by our guest in this hour, Craig Branch. The website address again, issuesetc.org. Now, while you're there at the website, make sure to check out our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November. It's Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, a reader's edition of the Book of Concord. This is essentially the record of what the 16th century Lutheran reformers believed and taught and confessed. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November. Craig Branch is our guest. We're talking about the Church of Scientology. Craig, here's what Michael Rinder, Scientology board member, had to say about their beliefs regarding eternal life.
We believe that man is a spiritual being. That's a fundamental principle of Scientology, is that man is a spiritual being. He has a body. He uses a mind to direct the activities of his body, that he has lived many lifetimes and is an eternal spirit. And the object of Scientology is to attain a full understanding of oneself, a realization of one's innate spiritual nature.
So sort that out for us, if you would, Craig.
Well, again, the Scientology is a kind of it's a multi-level marketing, thing, a scheme. As far as I'm concerned, it's they tell people that they want to take you from where you are. Let me just kind of just run it through the general scheme, of the steps here they take. They try to track people, usually by getting you to take a personality test, which you always fail. And they tell you that you have problems, that Scientology has courses that can fix your problems, and they specify the problems through the personality test. And they begin to introduce these concepts that you, like you said, you are a human being, and you have a mind that's divided into two portions, the reactive mind and the analytical mind. Reactive mind is roughly equivalent to what Freud called the subconscious. Stored in the reactive mind are something called engrams, which are negative or painful experiences you've had in the past, but not just your past, also past lives. And engrams are supposedly the source of irrational behavior and psychosomatic illnesses, etc. So they begin to they hook you up to, and you have to start paying for these courses, and they keep on increasing. And they take you through a process of auditing. The auditing is they ask you questions while you're holding these two tin cans hooked to a rough lie detector, little needle that can measure skin, electrical skin responses and, in your body. And, solution is to become free of these engrams by taking these courses, one after another, one leads to another, and they try to detect certain things wrong with you in your past. That is inhibiting you from realizing your full potential. So their goal again is to eliminate the effects of the engrams, erasing them from the reactive mind and refilling them, refiling them in the analytical mind, which is supposed to be able to make all kinds of rational conclusions based on the truth of the Scientology axioms. So this is, again, this process, you try to take you up to a state of being clear of all engrams in your spirit. So then they, once you get to there, this is where kind of a bait and switch takes place. You're having all this work, this effort, paying all this money, taking these courses to get to the state of clear. By the way, the clear, they tell you that you're free from all psychosomatic illnesses. You're able to perceive, recall, imagine, create, compute, and super high level, even your IQ is increased. And but once you get there, you're saying, well, you know, I don't seem like I have all these things, unless you self-deceived. And they say, oh, well, guess what? You come to another level now. You realize that if you don't keep going, you're in big trouble, because what you've got to know now is that you have other thetans besides your thetan attached to you. And you've got to rid yourself of those thetans engrams. And you kind of, what is that? And you say, well, there are other spirits that have attached themselves to you. And you just have to go through the process and have yourself clear of those to go through various levels, what they call operating thetan. And that's when you start spending really big bucks. We're talking about, you know, anywhere between $200,000 and $400,000 eventually before you get through this process. And there you achieve this godlike state, again, where you have complete mastery over matter, energy, space, and time.
And has anyone achieved this?
Well, of course not, but it's interesting, a little anecdote. I was at a conference many years ago in Los Angeles at the Scientologists. That's one of their headquarters. And we were at a hotel, and the Scientologists were, part of their strategy was to engage people at the conference to give a good spin and a good face to Scientology and try to gather intelligence. They're very big on that. And I had this man walk up to me, and his name was Reggie. And he started talking to me. He asked me what I did. I told him I was with a Christian ministry. He says, well, I'm a Christian too. I said, well, are you a Scientologist? He said, yeah, I'm a Roman Catholic and I'm a Scientologist. And I said, well, you know, I find it hard to understand how you could be think you're a Christian and be a practicing Scientologist. He said, oh, I don't have any problem at all with that. I said, really? I said, what level are you in Scientology? How far along the bridge? That's one of their terminologies, this bridge you're on to cross from where you are to this operating theta state. And he said, he looked at me kind of funny, like I need the lingo, and he said, well, I'm an OT8. And that's the highest level you can get. And I said, really? Let me ask you something, Reggie. If Scientology always delivers, which is another axiom they have, always delivers, why are you still wearing glasses? You know, because you're supposed to be operating things, and you're supposed to have cured all illnesses, all defects. You have power over matter, energy, space, and time, and he's still wearing glasses. Now, that sounds kind of trivial, but he looked at me, kind of snickered, and then walked off. And my point was to try to plant a seed. How silly this is. You know, it doesn't equate with real life. But it's part of the cult mentality, the brainwashing mentality, is they can become fooled and duped, and they're not taught to think for themselves or be critical of the organization for all kinds of fears. So this is part of the problem.
Craig, here's Katie Kirk asking Michael Rinder of the Church of Scientology about something that L. Ron Hubbard had written.
But he also claimed that 75 million years ago, an evil galactic ruler named Xenu killed billions of his people by sending them to Earth in space planes. You can understand why some people might feel this is, at best, pretty unconventional, and I guess at worst, just plain out there, right?
I can understand that, certainly, Katie. That just has no basis in reality. This is one of those things that gets spread around, one of those old stories
so
that gets run around.
So he never wrote about that?
No, not in those terms. There is an alteration and twisting of things, and the real point about Scientology is that you can find out what Scientology is by going into any church, by reading any one of these books, getting them. We try and make them as available as possible so that people can see what Scientology is. You won't find anything like that in any of these materials at all.
Folks, when we come back from this break, Craig Branch, our guest, as we discuss Scientology tonight, will respond to that cut from Michael Rinder of the Church of Scientology, trying to explain, or perhaps explain away, what L. Ron Hubbard had written about Xenu and what happened 50 billion or million years ago. We're talking about the Church of Scientology. Craig Branch is our guest. Issues Etc. is underwritten in part by Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. They're going to host their annual symposia January the 17th through the 20th. This year's themes are justification in the Scriptures and the person and work of the Holy Spirit. You can find out more about this symposia at our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, area code 260-452-2247. Dr. Jeff Gibbs of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis about why you should support LCMS World Relief.
There is such dire need. Americans are so parochial. We just think about ourselves. We were in Germany last year. The news is international, and you come back to the United States, and all we think about is ourselves. See? But the world is God's world, and God's compassion needs to go out. And LCMS World Relief is one of the great ways that people can actually take what they have and share it with tsunami victims and people starving to death, and they can do it knowing that it will be shared in the name of Christ. Christ will be glorified in LCMS World Relief, and that's why we should support it.
For more information about LCMS World Relief, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look on the homepage for their logo, or call them at 314-996-1683. 314-996-1683.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Dr. Art Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Just, what makes Concordia Theological Seminary unique?
When you come onto our campus, the first thing you see, the thing that stands out architecturally, is our chapel. It stands at the highest point of our campus, and I think in many ways that is symbolic of what is most important at our seminary. We have a very rich worship life, and that's because our entire theology is centered in the fact that we believe that Christ's presence among us in word and sacrament as we gather together for worship is what forms future pastors into the kinds of caring shepherds that we hope that they can be. That chapel extends into the classroom, and our classes are very rigorous in terms of their academics. But I think what strikes people when they come and visit our campus and see our students and visit our classes is how deeply pastoral our life is here, that our theology isn't just academic, it's real-life theology. We're interested in real life and theology that affects the people of this world who have real lives. The reason I think that's at the center of our life is because of the real presence of Christ. We believe in the real life of Christ being present among us. And our entire campus, in a sense, vibrates by that presence that comes out of the chapel and our worship life that it extends in every aspect of our life here. I think you can see that what is perhaps unique about our campus is that it is Christ-centered. And we are a place where people treat each other in a Christ-like way. So it's a campus that is really a delight to have worked in for 20 years and to be a part of. And I think everybody who comes here is always, as our president says, refreshed and renewed by the experience.
Tell us a little more about the worship life on campus there.
What we try to do in our chapel is to help our students come and receive the gifts that are from Christ's presence. We are first and foremost a worshiping community. But we also realize that as a seminary, we are a place that is a teaching chapel. So we are constantly aware of the fact that we are teaching our students about our worship life and modeling it to them and to the people who visit us. And so people who come to our campus always find that when they leave our chapel, that they have been transformed. They have been transformed because Christ has been there.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit them on the web, www.ctsfw.edu. Folks, as we approach the end of another year, you're looking for a charitable organization? Consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to LCMS World Relief. Unlike many relief organizations, LCMS World Relief is concerned with both body and soul. You can donate online at our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling a toll-free number 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438. It is Christ-centered, cross-focused, LCMS World Relief. Craig Branch is our guest. He's director of Apologetics Resource Center based in Birmingham, Alabama. We're talking about the Church of Scientology. Before the break, we heard a cut from Michael Rinder of the Church of Scientology reacting to Katie Couric's question about this Xenu and the events of many millennia ago. What is this Xenu business, and is it really irrelevant, as Michael Rinder contends, to the Church of Scientology?
Well, that comment by Rinder was so revealing. This is, Scientology, you have to understand, has many strict orders and guidelines that they follow by L. Ron Hubbard policies and policy letters. And in it, some of those letters, they have a maximum called telling an acceptable truth, which means tailored to fit the reality of a given audience. That's the exact quote. And they don't tell the truth. Rinder is lying. He's lying dramatically here. They have sued many people to try to keep the OT3 cosmology course out of the public hands, because it's very specific in talking about this OT3 level and how we got to be where we are, how people got all these body Satans that have basically indwelt them, like demon possession in a sense, that they've got to have exorcism or through Scientology counseling to get them out so they can achieve their godlike state. I mentioned to you the article that the cover story in Time magazine back in 1991. There was also a six-part story in the Los Angeles Times, 6 days, back in June of 1990, that won a Pulitzer Prize. And Scientology never sued them, but they had access to the court, actual court documents that were presented by Hubbard's biographer at the time. And this guy, he began to research using Hubbard's own documents and suddenly found out that Hubbard had been lying. And he left the church over that, but he kept all these records. And he was the one that submitted these, Jerry Armstrong submitted these in the court case. But let me read to you just a summary of the view, the Scientology cosmology that Ridner denies is part of Scientology, which is just a bald-faced lie. Quote, 75 million years ago, a tyrant named Xenu ruled the Galactic Confederation, an alliance of 76 planets, including Earth, then called Tigiak. To control overpopulation and solidify his power, Xenu instructed his loyal officers to capture beings of all shapes and sizes from the various planets, to freeze them in a compound of alcohol and glycol, and fly them by the billions to Earth in planes resembling DC-8s. Some of these, now you have to understand, this is supposed to have been happening, you know, a long time ago, and yet they were flying DC-8s back then. Some of the beings were captured after they were duped into showing up for a phony tax investigation. The beings were deposited or chained near 10 volcanoes scattered around the planet. After hydrogen bombs were dropped on them, their thetans were captured by Xenu's forces and implanted with sexual perversion, religion, and other notions to obscure their memory of what Xenu had done. Soon after revolt erupted, Xenu was imprisoned in a wire cage in a mountain where he still remains today, but the damage was done. During the last 75 million years, these implanted thetans have affixed themselves by the thousands to people on Earth, called body thetans. They overwhelm the main thetan who resides within a person, causing confusion and internal conflict. In the Operating Thetan 3 course, Scientologists are taught to scan their bodies for pressure points indicating the presence of these bad thetans. Using techniques described by Hubbard, church members make telepathic contact with these thetans and remind them of Xenu's treachery. And with that, Hubbard said the thetans would attach themselves. You have to remember, L. Ron Hubbard was a science fiction writer. And so you can certainly see that effect in his cosmology.
So rather than being irrelevant to the practice of Scientology, it sounds like the whole tale of Xenu is integral, especially as you rise through the ranks of the Scientologists. Here is Michael Render again, Craig, on the purpose of this device called the E-meter.
What that meter actually measures is areas of stress or upset, and it literally indicates whether there is an area of stress or upset in a person so that that can then be addressed. That's all it does.
All right. It sounds pretty harmless.
Well, it is. It is a pretty harmless thing if it's left in a neutral context. But they, of course, convince people that this is measuring those engrams, those upsets caused by past experiences that are affecting your life now. Now, as a Christian, we certainly don't argue the fact that our past actions of our own sinful natures and being sinned against by other people, well, it certainly does affect the way we perceive reality and the way we can respond emotionally to things. But, I mean, we don't argue with that fact, but, of course, we argue with their conclusions of the content of how that's happening. But, yeah, they put, you know, it, like I said, it's a crude lie detector test. Lie detectors are not even are not infallible because, you know, they can't be used in a court of law still because they're not infallible. Because there's so many other factors that can go into what makes that needle move. But then plus the kinds of questions they ask you. If you go through this thing intensely, you can be put into pretty much an altered state of consciousness, too, and you're highly suggestible when put in that kind of a hypnotic trance state. So, I mean, it is totally unreliable. The context is something totally alien to Christianity and not even scientific.
Well, one question that is coming up all the time about Scientology, always has, is whether or not it is a litigious organization. Here's Michael Render, board member for the Church of Scientology, to answer that question.
That really is just not true. There is one case that existed in the United States with respect to that, relating to a Time magazine article back in 1991 or something
that.
Like that. That case is the only one that I am aware of with respect to the media. The other litigation that the church has been engaged in, and right now there is no litigation in the United States whatsoever. There are no legal cases at all. What were cases where people were suing the church, seeking to get money from the church. That it just isn't the case.
All right, Craig, what do you know about the either litigious or non-litigious nature of Scientology?
Scientology is absolutely the most litigious organization that ever existed. And even Ridner's comment, there's not one case. There certainly is. Cases going on right now. And this is, well, I mean, you got the Jerry Armstrong is still battling a case here in America. But this is, in that Time magazine piece he mentioned, they sued Time. They lost on every count. Time did have to spend $8 million in its lawsuit, but this is part of Scientology's stated, this is Helen Hubbard's stated policy, is to go after them, to attack anybody that's a detractor and sue them, to try to cause them to sue for peace. And they use this to intimidate, to bankrupt people. They did this to the Cult Awareness Network years ago. They filed 51 lawsuits. They filed hundreds, if not thousands, of lawsuits against the IRS. I've been sued twice by Scientology in the past. And fortunately, we thwarted them, as we will any other time they try, and we got the Rutherford Institute, which is, you know, a Christian organization, to defend us pro bono, and that thwarted Scientology's plans of trying to, you know, bankrupt their opponents through costly litigation and all kinds of frivolous motions that they file. But this is a standard tactic of Scientology. Here in America, they got cases, they just lost cases over in Netherlands and in Europe for trying to stop people from posting things on the internet, some of their so-called copyrighted scripture. It was like saying you can't post a Bible verse on the internet, but they've lost those cases. They just try to stop anybody through the court system.
Folks, it's Sunday night. We're coming to you live at November the 27th. Let's hear from you on Scientology. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. I would love to hear from members of the Church of Scientology. 1-800-730-2727. Or feel free to email us here in the studio at issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Up first, listening on KCVT is Mike from Manhattan, Kansas. Mike, welcome.
Hi there.
Hi, Mike.
How's it going?
Very well. What's up?
My question is, what exactly goes on during a service in the Church of Scientology?
That was a very good question, perhaps a telling question. When we come back from this break, we'll get the answer from Craig Branch. He's director of Apologetics Resource Center based in Birmingham, Alabama. When you walk into the Scientology Center, what will you see? What will you experience? What will people say? Is there anything resembling a worship service? Our call-in number is 1-800-730-2727. I see two free phone lines, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll be right back. What did the fathers of the 16th century Christian Reformation believe? What did they teach? What did they confess? Where did they agree with the Roman Church? And where did they disagree? What was the central issue of the Lutheran Reformation? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is called Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, a reader's edition of the Book of Concord. This book answers those questions. The book is $20.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, go to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find the book there at our homepage. Or to order Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Noted author and Christian apologist Craig Hawkins on why you should support Issues Etc.
It's my pleasure to recommend to you Issues Etc. It's one of the few programs discussing crucial concerns for Christians. It's done in a dynamic format, again, discussing crucial issues, and in an insightful manner. The program is very much needed. In my opinion, it's one of the most important broadcasts on the air, and it's one of my favorites. So if you want to grow in your faith, know what you believe and why, then this program is for you. I want to encourage you to listen, and I want to encourage you to support the broadcast, both prayerfully and financially.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line. That number is 1-800-737-0172.
One 800 737 0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free complimentary copy of our Next Issues Etc. journal, or you can make a tax deductible year end gift to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. 1-800-737-0172. No gift is too small. You can also write us at Issues Etc. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. That's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Before the break, Craig, we had Mike on the line. He was curious about worship life in the Church of Scientology. Is there anything akin to worship, or what happens in their Scientology centers?
Well, you have to understand Scientology is like a chameleon. It will adapt and put on fronts all the time in order to survive or to put to process and make Scientology work, keep it working. And Hubbard is accused, and many of the publications that do an analysis of Hubbard's life, pretty consistently of witnesses that were at a major science fiction writers convention back in 1949 or 50, where he said, writing for a penny a word is ridiculous. If a man really wants to make $1 million, the best way he would do this was start his own religion. And this is what Hubbard did, but actually when he first started it, even then, he didn't start it as a religion. He started it as a psychological, actually, or psychotherapy technique to compete with some of the others. And when he developed this e-meter, since he was claiming medical expertise with this, the FDA came in and closed it down, saying that this is not a true medical device. Whereupon then there's lots of documentation of correspondence he had with colleagues that he was going to transform this into a religious organization. I really encourage the listeners to maybe do a Google search for Dr. Stephen Kent. Dr. Stephen Kent is a professor of sociology at the University of Alberta. He's done a lot of work in Scientology in the professional academic setting. He wrote a journal article back in 1997, where it's called Scientology, Is This a Religion? And basically, he concludes this in his abstract. He says, although some social scientists insist that Scientology is a religion, the more appropriate position to take is that the organization is a multifaceted transnational that has religion only as one of its many components. The other components include political aspirations, business ventures, cultural production, pseudo-medical practices, pseudo-psychiatric claims, and alternative family structure. So this is, they will, if when the press comes in, they'll call into the press. If they're pressed on it, they will have a service of some sort. I've never been to one. I've just talked to people that have. And it's really, they will even sometimes put on a collar, a clerical collar to make it look more religious. But it is not the normal thing with Scientology.
Our call in number 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Up next, Chris in St. Louis listens on KSIV. Hi, Chris.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I I'm sorry if you've already answered this question. I'm not sure. I've got the tail end of the series here. Did Ron Hubbard ever mention where he received these revelations about Scientology? And also, would this be considered, does he have any authority? And would it be a good seed planter to ask the Scientologist, like, what authority does he have, where we have the authority in the Bible, like the 66 books written on three continents and three languages and all this, whereas they don't have basically anything like that?
It's a good question, Chris. Thank you very much. What kind of authority did, or claim to revelation, did L. Ron Hubbard make?
Well, Hubbard what Scientology claims is that Hubbard researched, and that's basically as far as you get. He researched, studied just a wide range. They had this really false biography of L. Ron Hubbard, what a explorer and a writer and an inventor, a scientist, and all these different things. They said he's exposed his mind to so many different things. But Hubbard himself writes in the Phoenix Lectures, one of his books, that much of the stuff that he's derived his beliefs from come from the Hindu Vedas, the Buddha's Dharma and discourses. He claims that he spent time in the lamasseries in China. And so he claims that this is a quote right from his book, a great deal of our material in Scientology is discovered right back there, end quote. So this is supposedly this research and discovery, this enlightenment progress that he supposedly went through is where he got the content from Scientology. But again, if you look at it and dissect it, this is clearly, again, science fiction, new age, and a little bit of pop or then humanistic psychology.
1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Up next, from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, listening on WEMI, Tim, welcome to Issues Etc.
Is there a promise of eternal life with Scientology?
Good question. Short and sweet. Craig.
Well, again, we use our terms when we ask even questions, eternal life. They do believe that your true state is your Thetan state, and once when you die, you'll go into that Thetan state. That's your ultimate goal. The trouble is, Hubbard died before he didn't invent more levels beyond OT8. They're just not clear about what that means. Once you get to that OT8. You're supposed to be, again, having full power over matter, energy, space, and time, which is a godlike state. They were teaching, of course, that people came back in reincarnation, but yet when you get to be OT, you're not supposed to have to do that anymore. But, again, they just don't describe it. He didn't describe it very well after that OT8.
Has anyone, with only about 30 seconds, has anyone picked up on L. Ron Hubbard's work and made an attempt as a secondary authority in the Church of Scientology to extend his religious system?
Well, actually, something did happen very interesting. The man who took over after his death was, they would say, just passing on to do more research, which kind of opens a door and hints in a way, leaving the door open for him to somehow communicate that research back into the church. But they had a major mass meeting of Scientologists where David Miscavige, the president, announced that there was a discovery that higher level Scientologists had been trained or audited incorrectly. It would need to redo some levels. And they call this the new era Dianetics. Well, again, because only had OT8s, people just kind of stuck there in those levels, and they didn't feel like they'd experienced what was promised. And so they came up with this excuse that they've discovered somehow that there were some inaccurate auditing going on, so they're going to have to redo, which would be another tens of thousands of dollars more. So they keep the money coming in, they keep fooling these people to keep on with this nonsensical dead-end spiritual quest.
Folks, we're coming to you live this Sunday night. It's November the 27th. We'll continue to respond to your phone calls and to your email in the next hour. Our number, 1-800-730-2727, one free phone line. This break is a great time to call. We'll be giving away the book, When Cultists Ask, by Ron Rhodes and Norm Geisler, to listeners with the best questions or comments in the next hour as we continue our conversation on the Church of Scientology with Craig Branch. 1-800-730-2727, or email us here in the studio at issuesetc@kfuo.org. If you get a busy signal, keep trying, because we will be freeing up phone lines as soon as the next hour continues, as soon as the next hour begins. 1-800-730-2727. You can listen to the next hour, but only on the web. Our website address, issuesetc.org. When you get there, click Listen Online, and you'll be able to hear the next hour. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. Keep trying if you get a busy signal, and we'll be freeing up those phone lines, taking your questions and comments with Craig Branch on the Church of Scientology. Does it sound implausible? Of course it does. Does it sound in many ways ridiculous? Yes, because it is. There's no doubt about that. Serious business, though, when people believe this. When people believe, even in many ways, the most outlandish things. In search for what? In search for a state of self-actualization, of being clear, of having their questions answered, when all the answers given here are, well, you know, the old saying is a sucker born every minute. But the people who are being taken in by Scientology are not just gullible. They are being duped and being deceived with falsehood. And they're being directed away from the truth, the one who is truth. No, not L. Ron Hubbard, but Jesus Christ, who is God himself in human flesh and the sacrifice for all human sin. Now, there's the real problem. Sin and Christ's perfect obedience and death and resurrection is the only answer. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.